Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
Would PCA be your MVP?
No. He'd probably be a top three finisher if the season ended today.
Who's number one?
Ohtani still.
Really?
Yeah.
He does nothing in the field.
Okay.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Numbers.
Shohei Ohtani takes three questions after he hits three homers in a game. That doesn't matter. Really good at baseball? Yes, he is. And so that's the person I would vote for if he's better than the rest of the class.
Russell Dorsey.
What's up, Russ?
On 670 The Score.
Russ Dorsey is here for his weekly. We got you for two segments here on Raheem and Harris on The Score. He is our resident
three?
Baseball studio friend. I know. We do always kick it out to three.
There's only three left, Russ.
That's unless you want to hang out with the afternoon show, your friends,
I love hanging
Lawrence
out.
And Matt.
I don't have to be that
I
at
think
the
you
yard.
You love hanging
a while.
Out because the weather's nice. You're like, I'm leisurely today. I've got my uniform on. And yeah, you're chilling. Your summer uniform.
The offended looks. We are a minute into this segment. Russ is the Yahoo Sports Major League Baseball insider. He's an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus. And he gets offended by Marshall. That's really what happens.
Regularly. Marshall, I never understand Marshall Harris. And I love that. I was talking to my parents. They love our relationship. And I try to explain to them, like, yeah, I don't understand Marshall all the time. And I used to be the guy that used to say, you would always say, oh, man, I'm so old. And I'd be like, no, Marshall, you're not old, man.
And now?
No, you're old. I've come around. Like, I used to defend you. And now I'm like, no, you're old.
Why? What changed?
My old man ways have become more prevalent.
At the beginning, it was self-deprecation. Which I know he loves. But then it became like he started to believe it. And I'm like, nah, man, we can't have that.
Oh, yeah, there was a phase where he was trying to like save me from myself. I was like, I don't need saving.
He says he doesn't want to go to concerts anymore.
Yeah. I went to Kendrick and SZA, and I was like, okay, that's a wrap.
Oh, that's
concerts,
dope.
Russ.
That's
all
cool.
Concerts.
That's not old man behavior. That's great. How did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, but remember, the end result was I'm good on concerts.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
I heard people that had gone in other places and long set lists, and it's depending on who you go for. Like, I like SZA, but like, do I like it as much as the other people that went specifically for SZA?
It was not Kendrick featuring SZA. It was a Kendrick and SZA concert.
Yeah. I am not here in 2025 to hear people complain about getting adequate value for your money.
Yeah.
I can't do it with you.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with friends.
Okay.
And one young lady came up to my one friend who's the same age as me. He's like, I like your hat, sir. And that's when I was like,
sir, it's crazy. At that point, you just got to go home.
The concert had not started yet.
You got to walk out.
They played all Luther Vandross leading into the concert.
Oh, love
like
that.
Like his greatest hits.
Love that.
And so I asked the people beside us, I was like, oh, y'all know who this is, right? He's like, no, who is this? And so I was like, it's Luther Vandross. He's like, oh, yeah, my mom was telling me about him. And I was like, yeah, why am I here?
You know why I don't like that is because that gives a bad reputation to younger generations. Because there are a lot of younger people that grew up on like old school music.
Yes.
Like my mom's from Detroit. And so Motown is a regular part of me and my brother's upbringing. And I'm 30 years old. But I know who Luther is. If Luther's greatest hits comes on. But the fact is, like, yeah, my mom told me about that. That's
how
sad.
You know.
Jalen Hurts told Pam Oliver after one of the games he was going to go listen to Anita Baker.
Anita Baker, a fantastic listen any time of the day, especially when you're cleaning your house on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Yeah, these are all good points. Speaking of cleaning up the house, the Cubs need to do some cleaning up. They need to clean up in their division, Russell. They've done a good job of that. I want to be very clear. They've done a good job of that so far this season. You've got four teams now over 500 in the division. The Cubs in the division, 11-5. Best mark in the division against other division opponents. I don't think this series is nearly as important to the Cubs as it is to the Brewers because they're trying to climb the uphill climb. But I want to ask you this. How big of a deal is this stretch in which the Cubs are now facing all winning teams between now and the All-Star break?
Really important, right? You're going to have to beat good teams if you want to get to the postseason. I think we're at the point in the year we've seen what we needed to see from the Cubs to say this is a playoff team, right? And since I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was with you guys, we had that conversation where the Cardinals had gotten hot and they were 4 games back. You look at the standings now, the second place team, which is the Brewers, they're 5.5 back. Like the Cubs have slowly, despite all these different hot streaks by these teams, have now expanded their lead in the division. Yes, it's still really important to win these games against the Brewers, win games against the Cardinals, win games. You know, it feels like they play the Pirates every 2 weeks.
Which no one's complaining about around here.
But you got to play who's on your schedule.
So
at this point in the year, when you play good teams, especially leading up to the All-Star break, you get that gap in the schedule, and then you have that couple of weeks before the trade deadline, you want to see what this team is made of. And so you can really solidify, okay, what do we actually need at the deadline?
There was something that Vinny Rotino touched on. Vinny's the analyst for FanDuel Sports Network in Milwaukee. And so he's on that Brewers crew, lack of a better term. It always works. And this is their crew, and that's their whole slogan. But the point is, he pointed out something that we also touched on yesterday, which was, this looks like a Cubs team that finally has balanced enough facets of their game, whether it's bullpen, defense, starting pitching, or hitting, to pick up where another department may have left off. They're not slugging well right now, as we've touched on, but their bullpen is playing so well that they haven't necessarily needed it. What do you think about that aspect of what is going on out of them right now?
I think that's true, but I think when you're talking about a good baseball team or good baseball teams in general, that's usually how they operate. Like, if one area of their game takes a dip, right now it's the slug aspect for the Cubs, there are other areas of their game that has to pick things up. And so early in the year, the offense was all world, scoring 6, 7, 8 runs a game. And the bullpen was very shaky, where you needed to score 8 runs a game. Now you're at a point in the year where, all right, the homers have kind of come back to earth. But that bullpen, through time, trial and error, you figure out who your guys are. And they've been really good over the last 6 to 8 weeks or so. You have to pick a manager will always say, we have to pick each other up, or the offense has to pick up the pitching today. The pitching has to pick up the offense today. And so I just think that's a confirmation that the Cubs are indeed a good baseball team because they can win games even if one of the areas of their game is.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Off.
Well, and I said yesterday, you know, they talked a lot the last couple of seasons, especially 2 years ago, about spine of the defense and how they were basically building a team to win 2-1 every day when they, at that point, had Tucker Barnhart as the catcher. And they wanted, you know, to solidify Nico and Dansby up the middle and then center field, which I believe that was Cody at the time. Cody Bellinger at the time. So you had that spine of the defense discussion, but what's happened is it didn't perform the way it wanted to. They appropriately changed, and now they actually have that. Like, that's been something that has been very visible, is catchers catching people off base. You know, the run game that they've kept down has been good. You also have seen what Nico's doing with defensive run saved and what Pico Armstrong is doing in center, not to mention Dansby being there.
You already had a Gold Glover in left and Ian Happ. You're gonna have a guy who's gonna be a multiple time Gold Glover in center, MP Crow Armstrong. Kyle Tucker came in as one of the best defensive right fielders in all of Major League Baseball. So there are not a lot of balls that are gonna see green out there. Then to have Dansby and Nico up the middle and what they've been able to do. Matt Shaw has been really strong at third base after that stretch when he was in Iowa, when it was this revolving door of guys at third base and Vidal Brujan and all these different guys that are there, it's like, you probably need to shore that up, where we were like, John Birdie should play every day, right? Remember well,
I
that? Like,
I said Nicky Lopez should play because that was the surest glove you had.
Right, you needed somebody who could be shore up that side of the defense. And now you have Shaw there, and he's doing that. Michael Bush, I think there was a stretch where last year you're wondering, like, is that a first baseman? Like, can he do it? And there were times where it looked rough over there. And he's, you know, you look at the metrics, and he's bounced back better than he was last year. Like, what they're going to be able to do, and you guys will hear me talk about it all the time, teams that play in the postseason, when you can pick up the baseball, you can catch the baseball, that's so big when a three runs might be all you need in the postseason, right? If you have the pitching that you're expecting, can you catch the baseball, get your pitchers out of jams in high leverage scenarios and situations in the game? And it feels like this Cubs team can do that outside of all the other really good things that they do.
So we're joined by Russell Dorsey here on Raheemy and Harris. He's a Yahoo Sport MLB insider, also an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus. He does all the things when it comes to the seam heads trying to figure out what's going on. Russ, look, as I look at the NL Central, my biggest question as of today, knowing that there's a couple of teams, three teams in total in the division, not named the Cubs, within 2.5 games of a wild card spot, what is the likelihood there are two teams to make the playoffs out of this division?
Very low.
Very low? To be honest with you. So it's division or bust?
Yeah. It's if you're the Brewers or the Cardinals, you got to win the division.
Or the Reds.
Or the Reds, who have underperformed this year. I just don't see a scenario when you have three teams in the NL West now, because the D-backs, with all their injuries, it's going to be very hard to compete in not only their division but in the wild card. You have the Giants that just made a big blockbuster move for Rafael Devers. You have the Padres that are World Series or bust. You have the Dodgers that are World Series or bust. You go out east where you have the Mets and the Phillies. I think of the teams I just named, the Reds, Brewers, or Cardinals, they're not better than the other teams that I mentioned in the other divisions. So it's you're going to have to look at this 5.5 game deficit if you're the Brewers and say, all right, we got to get it here, because the chances of you doing it in the wild card are a lot tougher.
Well, we were talking about that very thing. Like, yeah, the talent, I think, overall, top to bottom, has improved in the division. But when it comes to realistically having a chance against seeing, even now with that Devers trade, that lets you know what it takes to compete, as if you needed that proof in the NL West.
Right.
We know what's going on in the East. And so I don't know that there's any other way to look at it when it comes to the Central. It's not the same, barely 500 gets you the division, but you're going to have to win it in order to make those playoffs.
And I think the records say that the division has improved, and I would give you that. I still think from a talent standpoint, there is far more talent in the other two divisions, in my opinion, than there is in the NL Central, and that's not to demean any of those teams. Because to be a division that has four of the five teams over 500 in today's day in baseball, that's a big deal, because we don't see that all the time. But I still think it is going to be an uphill battle for the teams behind the Cubs to make it to the postseason. Like, you're going to need a combination of their success, but also the Cubs to take a big step back in the second half to make this a race for real.
And now I look at it and I say, part of that is possible just because you're playing other teams in your division, and, you know, the Rockies exist, yes, but those NL West teams got to play each other outside of that. But the Rockies do exist. I'm not, those 13 games are big. You better be going 10-3, 11-2 in those games if you're in that division against the Rockies, because everybody else is.
Well, yeah. And the Marlins are in the East. You know, I mean, that's part of it, right?
I don't think the Marlins are holding
the
candle.
The difference is big between the badness of the Marlins badness of the Rockies.
I would say it like this. If you're in the East and you've got your 13-game series against the Marlins, you're probably looking at 9-4. Or 8-5, but you really, in the West, if you're playing the Rockies, it's got to be double-digit wins.
Yeah, well, they started the month with 9 wins.
Now they got 15.
And they're up to 15. So, like, give a round of applause to the Rockies for getting to this.
They're over the Mendoza
point.
Line in win percentage now. Yeah,
that's that 208.
Are we? Is that a thing now? The Mendoza line in win percentage?
Well,
we
for them it
that?
Is because they were under 200. They had won 1/6 of their games. And so that's 167. And now they're up to 208. You know how
they're also they're on a two-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Another round of applause for the Colorado Rockies.
I want to turn your attention to the All-Star voting. First of all,
another outstanding category of achievement for discussion.
Do you like the way All-Star voting is set up?
How so?
With the phase one and then phase two? Or do you wish it was just every week we get an update on the voting and the number one guy wins and the top three guys win in the outfield? Because now it's phase one, and then it ends next Thursday, and then they reset everything between just those two top two players or the top six outfielders, and then we vote all over again. It's like a primary system, basically.
I kind of like that.
The primary system that we have now?
Yeah. Because I think you eliminate the guys that didn't get voted in. You get the top three, especially like for outfielders, you get the top six, I believe.
Yes.
And then everybody else is the top two. I like that, and that gives a nice – like last year, the battle between Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson. Like, that's fun. Two of the two best shortstops in baseball going head-to-head to decide who starts in the All-Star game. I think that's really dope. And I think that's a fun way to do it that's different than some of the other sports. I look at basketball where, like, we're at a point where nobody cares. I think people still care about the MLB All-Star game. And I think the way that the voting happens is also a fun way to drive not only attention, but shed light on guys who are having really great seasons.
Still can't get your vote for Mike Togman.
Well, I don't vote for anybody, but like...
Can you explain to the people... the top 10 designated hitter voting now that Rafael Devers is in the National League for the American League.
Yeah, tell him what happened with Rafael. He got traded.
Yeah, Rafael gets traded, takes his votes with him. So,
all 800,000 of the votes he had.
So now the 1 through 10 for designated hitters in the American League. Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles.
Ding, ding, ding. That's your winner. We're done now.
353,000. Ben Rice of the Yankees.
Okay.
Big market, big votes.
Who's had an first half?
Number 3 is Mike Tauchman. At 177, that's my guy.
But he hasn't played.
Played 25 games. Put up an
881
OPS. I want
Mike Tauchman, a designated hitter in the All-Star game.
Okay.
381 on base and a 500 slug. I like that for a DH.
He's not even qualified for...
He's qualified for voting, though. It's a popularity contest.
Vote for Mike Tauchman. This is great.
We talk about
number
big
three
markets.
Already.
Yeah, big markets.
Jordan Alvarez.
Vote for Ryan O'Hearn, folks.
Mike Tauchman.
Wow. You're going against the Southsiders?
I'm going for the person who deserves to be there.
Jordan Alvarez of the Astros is behind Mike Tauchman.
Who hasn't played
all year,
Mike Tauchman. Yeah.
Anthony Santander.
Who has not been good.
Cole Keith.
Also has not been great.
Brent Rooker did impress.
He's been
pretty good.
But like...
Jorge Polanco, Jock Peterson.
You're depressing my man over there.
And then it's Jorge Soler.
Yeah, I don't like this.
So I say Mike Tauchman.
Vote for Ryan O'Hearn, guys.
I would say it like this, Russ. The All-Star game is a spectacle. It is for the fans. Whatever they can do to spruce it up and make people interested. So that's why if you say the primary voting system is superior, I'll roll with that. I have... questions because you just wrote an article about Rafael Devers and that trade and where that leaves us, and that's something we can really get into.
We will get into that next with Russ Dorsey because we are up against a break, and we also want to remind you about what we are giving away. Listen all week for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to the Windy City Smokeout on Saturday, July 12th, with performances by Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. And for tickets, you can go to WindyCitySmokeout.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at Spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.